So the Chiefs defense hasn't been that great in the red zone. They're actually 31st in the league during the regular season.
Out of 32, that's pretty bad.
Yeah. And Philly's offense, they're third in the league on red zone trip.
So we're talking about touchdowns.
Scoring.
Yeah. Like, I don't think this is going to be a game where field goals are going to cut it.
No, it's going to be a shootout.
All right, welcome to the Monarch Experience Podcast. I am your host, Mr. Ancona, and here at the Monarch Experience Podcast, always about giving students the platform to be able to voice their opinions about the things that matter to them. And we got something important coming up in the world. We got the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl between the Eagles and the Chiefs. The Chiefs. Ugh. And we are going to be chatting a lot about all of the key things, all the things that you want to know leading up to the big game, because, you know, most places will call it the big game because they don't have the rights to the term, the Super Bowl. So they legally cannot say Super Bowl. So if you pay attention to any wording at supermarkets or for like any other companies, whether it's maybe Pepsi or Coke or like any kind of product, they'll always reference, get your snacks for the big game, because they can't use the word Super Bowl. Now that you know, you're going to not be able to unhear it or unsee it. We got Simran here, and before we get to this conversation about all things Super Bowl, we're going to be chatting about our favorite foods for the Super Bowl, typical Super Bowl gatherings. We're going to be chatting about the commercials, of course. That's an enormous part. There's so many people out there like yourself who likely only watch the Super Bowl for the commercials or the halftime show. And then, of course, we're going to be chatting about the matchups to look forward to, the historical context. There's a lot, especially if you love the history of these two teams or just of football in general, like we do. We'll be talking about specific key matchups to look for, ones that we think are going to play an enormous factor in the outcome of the game, who needs to have a big game in order for either team to come out on top, looking at some of the key matchups team-wise. Of course, we'll pick our winners, who our MVPs will be. But before we get to that, make sure that you're following us on social media, on TikTok at Monarch XP. You can follow us on Twitter at The Monarch XP. Not much is going on Twitter. We got to get on that and try to figure out something. Give us ideas. And of course, you can follow us on our most active social media platform, Snapchat at The Monarch Experience Podcast. Look for the bald guy. Send me a message saying only hi, which is super vague and confusing. We've got an amazing student here chatting about all things with the Super Bowl. Simran, what's going on? Say hey to our audience.
Go Patriots.
Go Patriots. She has just made herself the most unlikable human being in podcast history. You're a Patriots fan.
Yeah. Every time I say it, I get a lot of hate for it, but I just ignore all of it because They're the best team.
Well, I mean, they've won, and you've experienced a lot of winning just in your lifetime.
Yeah.
Like, not before your lifetime, they've won three. Born in 2009.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, you saw some heartaches. Well, no, you were like 3 years old, so you probably didn't really see it. But you got to experience some amazing Super Bowl victories.
Yeah. Patriots Falcons was the best.
And one loss.
Yeah.
We're not going to talk about that one.
We don't talk about the losses.
Yeah. Obviously. We ignore them. They didn't happen. Brady is the GOAT. What's your favorite Super Bowl that you've ever seen?
The Patriots and Falcons. Just the emotions in the second half and then overtime. It was the most thrilling experience I've ever had.
I got to imagine that if you're a fan of that team, seeing that comeback. And like every fan has seen enormous comebacks. No, unless you're a Jets fan. You've seen enormous comebacks. But to have it in the Super Bowl like that, where you probably went through like all five stages of grief.
Yeah.
Like bargaining, acceptance. You're like, we're going to lose this. That's it. I'm not even going to watch the rest. And then like, cope, and then all of a sudden, like, they start coming back, and you're like, oh my god, it's gonna happen, it might happen, and then, oh my goodness, it is gonna happen. It's pretty amazing. Although that game was pretty boring the first half.
Yeah,
like the comeback was amazing, the first half was a shellacking.
I guess that's why the Falcons let their guard down.
Possibly. Yeah. So we're going to be chatting all things Super Bowl, and I'm super excited. Haha, see what I did there. But before we do this, Simran, this is really like our second or third conversation, so I don't know you all that well. So let's get to know each other on a more personal level. Doritos Nacho Cheese or Doritos Cool Ranch?
Okay, so I would say Doritos Cool Ranch.
Me too.
But I can't eat a lot of the Cool Ranch. Like, if I'm just, like, binging, I'll get the Nacho Cheese.
Why?
I don't know. It's just something about the flavor. Like, I can't just keep eating Cool Ranch for, like...
You feel sick or you just don't enjoy the flavor after a while?
I just don't enjoy it.
I felt not so great the next morning after, on Saturday, I had, like, a whole enormous bag of Doritos Cool Ranch watching the Royal Rumble. And the next morning, I woke up and I was like, this was a mistake.
Yeah.
Apparently, the human body is not meant to consume an entire giant bag of chips made for, like, 8 people. All right, good. We're on the same page. We're both Cool Ranch people. Speaking of food, it's probably one of the better places to start. Apparently, the Super Bowl is like the most food consumed day. Like the most amount of food is consumed during the Super Bowl, which is insane. What are your favorite Super Bowl foods?
So I like chicken wings, and then my mom usually makes nachos.
Okay.
And I usually get, like, a pie of pizza.
Beef or chicken nacho wings?
Chicken.
Okay. And my other question, then, is favorite wing sauce? Or some of your favorite wing sauces? There's so many.
So, I usually don't order the wing sauces because my dad just chooses them.
Okay.
And then he just gets whatever, and then I eat it.
Gotcha. Can you do spicy?
Yeah, I can do spicy.
Okay.
But I prefer, like, the middle.
Okay.
Like, not, like, the sweet.
But yeah, like, not the sweet Thai chili. Too sweet?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're okay. I like a lot more kick.
Yeah, because, like, if I wanted the sweet, I would just eat, like, ice cream.
I like how sweet Thai chili is like, I might as well just eat ice cream. Yeah. No, I totally agree. Like, the sweet's okay. Barbecue doesn't really do it for me.
I love barbecue.
I love barbecue sauce, but, like, not on wings. I'm just kind of like, I could live without it. Where do you get your wings from?
Buffalo Wild Wings.
Oh, we can plug our sponsor for today. Today's episode of the Monarch Experience Podcast is brought to you by no one but Buffalo Wild Wings. We will take your money if you would like to sponsor us. So Buffalo Wild Wings, I do like the one dry rub they have, the lemon pepper, is awesome.
Yeah, I've had that before.
It's so good. Mango habanero?
Yeah. I'm, like, kind of mid on that.
Yeah?
Like,
how come?
I don't know. Maybe it's the mango.
Too sweet?
It's, like, weird for me.
Well, because it's fake sweet. Yeah. It's not, like, real fruit flavor. And that's... So, what other flavors then? Nashville hot?
Yeah.
Yeah, Nashville hot's always a classic. Garlic parmesan?
No.
Me neither. Yeah, because you want more spice.
Yeah.
We're the same person, Simran. This is great. So, you said pizza. Where are you getting pizza from?
So I used to get it from, like, Pizza Hut or Domino's.
Okay.
But then I found this really good, like, local Italian place.
That's the way to do it.
And that's, like, really good because it's not like Pizza Hut and Domino's put a bunch of oil and then it's like...
It's fast food pizza.
Yeah. Like, you like it, but then when you have, like...
Real pizza.
Yeah. You're like, oh, wait, I can never go back.
I love the way you said that. Yeah, I totally agree. And being an Italian, obviously, I'm not going to be ordering. I'm not going to be going to Olive Garden. I'm not going to be going to Domino's or Pizza Hut. Those places are good when you live like in the Midwest and there are no pizza places or Pennsylvania and there is no pizza around you. So like, I'm always telling my students whenever we're talking about pizza, like, you guys live in New York, New Jersey. We are the only place that makes great pizza like this. Sure, there's a couple of places here or there that you can find. But once you leave this tri-state area, like, the pizza is garbage.
Yeah.
Pizza in the Poconos, which isn't even that far, is awful and it's unreal. But yeah, you gotta go local places. Atilio's is our place that we go to. Brooklyn Square is an awesome place in Manalapan, I think, Englishtown. And they are sponsoring this episode. All right, what else do you have? And obviously, you gotta be a glutton on the Super Bowl, right? You have to eat until the point where you're like, I cannot eat anymore. And then you go and eat some more and regret all these decisions the next day. What else are you having? You said dips?
Yeah, so okay. My mom makes guacamole.
Makes it?
Yeah.
Fresh. Nice.
With the actual avocados.
Oh, yeah. That's the best. Especially when you go to a restaurant and they do it tableside.
And then when we're like at like a potluck or something, someone usually gets like the 7-layer dips.
Okay. I don't like them. You like them?
Yeah. They're like good because it's like different textures.
Yeah.
And
too many textures, in my opinion. What would you choose? The 7-layer dips, guacamole, or salsa?
Salsa.
Yeah?
Salsa's
spicy, obviously, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I guess it's just like the different flavors of the salsa.
Okay.
And like, I guess it's a texture too, because it's more like a liquid. You could like, if you get those chips where you can.
The
like,
scoops?
Yeah.
I used to hate the scoops, but the scoops are so functional.
Yeah, because you can just put it in there and then you could just eat it.
That's true. Then, yeah. And you always have like the perfect rationing of salsa to chip, which is a problem that is plaguing Americans for a very long time. The improper balance of chip to salsa.
I'll also sometimes just eat ketchup with chips.
Ew.
No, it's actually really good. Like the saltiness.
No, it's not.
The saltiness of the ketchup and the chip is just great.
That feels like a bootleg version of salsa.
But it's like, it's just great.
Oh.
I can't describe it.
Because it's the most foul thing in the world. You're not convincing me, Simran. I don't want to try this.
It's, you have to give it a chance and then it's good.
No, I'm good. I'll stick with my salsa. We're speaking of things that people are looking forward to at all times. You know, the food is one, the social event, the gathering. Like, people who don't watch football at all still go to Super Bowl parties, which is kind of a really cool thing. It's really just become, I mean, it's been like this for years, but it really is just like an American holiday. We need to have off the day after the Super Bowl.
Or at least a delayed opening.
I like the delay. That's awesome. Who do we talk to make that happen? Dr. Hibbs, are you listening? Who is that a federal thing? Can we make that a federal thing? Talk to Joe Biden?
Yes.
Talk to the president.
I did an essay last year on the Super Bowl, and it's like the number, like after Thanksgiving, it's like the number one favorite holiday.
Mm-hmm. And it's also one of the most called out days where most people are calling out of work or just showing up and not being in a mental state to do work. Like, you stayed up late, you ate a ton, like, it's kind of hard to function the next day when, like, you've got 6 pounds of wings trying to work its way through your body.
Yeah, like, I don't think we should have school off, because I still want to, like, talk to people about the Super Bowl.
That's true.
But, like, at least, like, a half day, like, starting from noon.
I like that. A delayed opening on the day of the Super Bowl, and then get out at regular time.
Yeah.
Let people sleep in a little. Ooh. Yeah. Dr. Hibbs. You know what to do. You know what to do. So commercials are a huge part, and that's kind of where a lot of people are watching. The highest ad, 30 seconds, $7 million.
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money, but when you think about the amount of eyeballs that are watching, and when you're talking about the amount of TVs that are on, and then plus, you know, 10 to maybe even 20 or 30 people in that house watching it, like, you're getting so much exposure to your product. And to, like, the message that you're trying to put out there, it kind of makes sense. Like, and the companies that could afford it, name me five that you know we're going to see.
Well, obviously Apple.
Obviously Apple. They could afford it.
I think one of the streaming services is going to be on there, like either Disney, Hulu.
I mean, Disney can afford it.
Yeah.
Right? It's crazy.
And
food-wise, you know we're going to see a commercial for
Doritos.
And probably America's favorite snack candy.
Yeah.
M&M's. Ooh, actually, I wonder. They kind of some controversial things going on. I wonder if they. Oh, they are totally. M&M, they are with Maya Rudolph. They are totally going to poke fun at the political stuff that was going on with the M&M mascots. Yeah. Like, they are absolutely going to do some kind of like reference to that, and I'm sure that commercial, like, I hope it's funny. What other products do we know are going to be on there?
Probably Coke or Pepsi.
Right? Coke or Pepsi, like, definitely. Like, gonna have a car commercial probably.
Yeah, there's gonna be a bunch of car
commercials. And the car commercials are usually pretty lame, right? It's like epic driving around the mountain.
Actually, last year I remember seeing like this robotic dog in the car, and they were like promoting the electric vehicle.
Oh.
And then the dog was really cute.
Okay. So. Well, that's how you remember it. You're like, do you remember what car it was?
No.
Isn't that amazing? You're like, I just remember the dog was cute. Like, It's so crazy. What other commercials are you anticipating that we kind of know are going to be happening, that they're going to be bringing to a close during the Super Bowl?
So we know that FanDuel is going to do their first Super Bowl commercial.
With gambling being, oh my god, of course. They can afford it.
Yeah. So they're going to have Gronk, Rob Gronkowski, the Patriots tight end.
Yep.
He's going to try to kick a field goal, even though he's usually catching the passes.
Where? How far out are they kicking it from?
I believe
18 yards?
25 yards.
25 yards. Okay. So a little further than a free point.
So apparently in high school, he's actually kicked a 33-yard field goal.
Okay.
But it's a while back.
And so, is this live?
Yeah, it's going to be live. And if he makes it, all the people who bet are going to share a $10 million pool.
Wow. So it's a, does he make it or does he not make it?
Yeah.
Oh. I mean, what a great way, marketing-wise, to get more bets in.
Yeah.
Alive. Oh, man, that's pretty cool. Do you think he's going to make it?
I think he's going to make it because he's, like, really dedicated. Mm-hmm. And I feel like he would commit and try to make it, especially with his practicing with Adam Vinatieri. He's had bunch of records.
Yeah.
So
famous Colts and Patriots field goal kicker. The guy literally kicked until he was like 46 years old.
Yeah.
So one of the all-time greats.
But I don't know if Gronk still has a bunch of injuries. So
I think I don't think he makes it. I think he misses it. It's hard to line up to kick with no rush. He's just doing it off of the tee, I assume.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think he's going to make it. I think it'd be funny if he just completely shanks it like all the way to the right, like not even close. What other commercials? Any other commercials you're looking forward to?
Usually there's that NFL commercial where they have a bunch of old players.
Yeah. And that's, which is like the NFL is putting out a commercial on their own product to celebrate their own product, which is usually cool. You see a lot of the older players and everything, which I think is fun. I imagine Doritos or M&M's are going to be the only ones that likely are maybe funny. Or some random company that comes out of nowhere. For the most part, I feel like the commercials have been pretty not funny over the last like 4 years, or they've progressively gotten less and less funny. I know we're talking about this a little bit. Do you think there's a reason to it?
Yeah, I think people are scared to make like controversial jokes because of social media and like cancel culture.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, the M&Ms got canceled. So like obviously everything will make someone upset. And, you know, in good taste, of course. But yeah, I hope that they're funny.
Yeah.
Especially if it's a bad game. When like the game is not watchable, you really, really need some humor in between.
Yeah, I think the Rams and Patriots game.
Oh, that was tough to watch.
Yeah, it was like 0-0 until like.
It was tough to watch.
I think the commercials were like good in that. They were like,
those
okay.
3 years ago, 4 years ago? Yeah. I feel like it's been over the last like 4 years that the commercials have not been as good. Especially because like, you know, commercials are a time to like get up, go get a new snack, like go to the bathroom. Like if I'm not going to go to the bathroom during commercials, like I'm basically holding it in for 3 hours the whole time.
Yeah.
So you better make it worth it. Although I might go during the halftime show.
Yeah.
Are you interested in watching the halftime show at all this year?
Not really, but usually something cool happens with like special effects.
Yeah, or like a special appearance.
Yeah.
Not a big Rihanna fan?
Not really.
I mean, I kind of liked Rihanna a little bit back in 2012, like 10 years ago. Why Rihanna? Any idea?
I'm not sure. Maybe she's promoting a new album, but she hasn't really released anything new that's popular.
Yeah, I mean, it's not my wheelhouse. It sounds like it's not yours either. She has some cool songs. I liked Umbrella. You know they're going to have something probably cool with umbrellas.
Yeah. Maybe it's going to be like a throwback to her.
I would think that you would do a lot of like the hits, right? So any special appearances before we start moving to actual game itself? Any special appearances you think are going to make it during the halftime show?
I don't know.
I'm going to say Beyonce.
Yeah, maybe.
I think Beyonce would be a safe one. I'm trying to think like who was like huge during the 2010s, like when Rihanna was king, queen. Maybe Katy Perry. Are they just gonna like throw it back to that era?
I guess because last year they threw it back to like before
the 90s.
Yeah
This should be interesting to see for sure. And I'll definitely, you know, watch. The halftime shows are are usually pretty amazing. Worst halftime show you've ever seen? Can you think of it?
I personally didn't like last year's.
Yeah, we were talking about this. How come?
I don't know. I just felt like it was a lot, and I knew some of the artists, but the lady, I forgot her name, but her performance was kind of...
Mary J. Blige.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She just sat on the floor and started screaming.
The one song she... The first song she did, I don't think she needed two songs.
Yeah.
I actually really liked it, but I understand why someone who's 13, 14 would be like, who are these guys that look like my dad? Because, they're definitely up there. All right, so let's get into it. Like, this is a really exciting game. You've got the one seeds. Jeez, one seed.
Yeah.
You've got both number one seeds from each conference facing off, which is awesome. Love when that happens. It's always fun when there's, like, an underdog. It's always fun when, like, a team kind of comes out of nowhere. But sometimes it's fun to just have the season play out. That's the best team in the AFC. That's the best team in the NFC. And then they meet in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Love when that happens. Let's talk about some historical context here. There's a lot of different storylines that you can pay attention to, which makes it pretty cool. What's in your eyes? I have mine. What's in your eyes one of the coolest storylines that's happening here?
So I think that because it's the youngest combined age between any two starting quarterbacks in Super Bowl history.
Mahomes is 27? 27?
Yeah.
And Hurts is going to be like 24?
Yeah. And it just shows that, like, quarterbacks are just, like, in college, they're getting a lot more, like, experience and, like, they can quickly go to the Super Bowl. Especially since a lot of these quarterbacks are drafted high and they were drafted into rebuilding teams, and then all of a sudden they just go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, what's interesting, I mean, the Patrick Mahomes, when they drafted him, they moved up to get him, and they got him, what, like, I think around 16 in the first round or so. Yeah. They kind of weren't rebuilding. They were in this, I don't want to say stagnant, right, because they were making the playoffs, but they were competitive with Alex Smith. But they were kind of, like, hitting their ceiling with Alex Smith back in 2015, I think, was his last year on the team. 16 was his last year on the team. So it was smart because they understood, like, this guy's going to be a project. I mean, he's already possibly a Hall of Famer. Like, and especially if he wins two Super Bowls, like, he's unbelievable what he's able to do. But I love your point on Jalen Hurts, because they did have to wait quite a little bit, and they had to be patient because his first 2 years, like, wasn't setting the world on fire.
Yeah.
And this year, it just seems like with between Sirianni and everything, this roster is stacked. Other things, youngest combined age between, wow, that's so crazy.
It's like the new generation. There's no more Brady, Rodgers.
Yeah, right. The Brady, Rodgers, Manning, like, years are long behind us.
Yeah.
And you're now looking at Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Jalen Hurts, and Mahomes, right? Those are, like, your top four quarterbacks. I mean, we're obviously missing a couple that are excellent in there. But, yeah, it's like a new guard.
Yeah, it's also the first Super Bowl matchup to feature two black starting QBs.
That's awesome.
When?
Yeah. Because, obviously Mahomes has been in there before. Doug Williams was the first with the Redskins, the artist formerly known as the Redskins, back in the 80s. Who else? There's not a lot of black quarterbacks that have won Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Goodness, I'm trying to go through in my head as fast as I can. Cam Newton lost the Super Bowl against the Broncos. Oh, man, wow.
So it's kind of like to show how the NFL has, like, progressed.
Yeah, yeah. That's really cool. I got my – this one's kind of hit me a little bit because I'm trying to think of, like, what other black quarterbacks have won. And the list really isn't that long.
Yeah.
The 90s, the 2000s. Oh, my goodness. I'm going through, like, every Super Bowl as fast as I can in my head and cannot think of any. You're going to fact check that on the side. I think two things that I think are really cool. Eagles center Jason Kelce and the Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce, first brothers to face off in a Super Bowl. So, like, I imagine mom and dad are likely elated and then realize, oh, shoot, we got a pick.
No, but then there's no way they can lose.
I mean, that's a very positive way to look at it.
Yeah.
Or they can look at it as
there's no way to win.
There's no way to win. Like, one of my sons is going to suffer, like, agonizing defeat. And Jason Kelce, or Travis Kelce, is very unlikable. I'm a Broncos fan, so I'm biased. He's unlikable. So, I mean, I would imagine his parents are not rooting for him because he's just unlikable.
Yeah.
He's too much. He's too much. I can't stand him. He is amazing, though. Go ahead. Did you find anything out about black quarterbacks winning Super Bowls?
I found out the first one is Doug Williams.
Yeah, Doug Williams. I think, what, like 88, 87?
88.
Okay.
Counting Mahomes, only three black quarterbacks have won the Super Bowl.
So it's Doug Williams, Patrick Mahomes, and who's the third?
Russell Wilson.
Oh, how could I forget Russell Wilson? Wow. I have blocked that Super Bowl out of my memory because it was so traumatizing. Let's not talk about it. People think I'm joking when I'm like, no, Super Bowl 48. No, they canceled the game. It didn't happen. Wow. That's right. God. Next year's got to be better. I think that's a really interesting one. Really, really cool. Two brothers facing off. Like, that's really interesting. You had two brothers that were coaches facing off with the Harbaugh brothers. I think another really cool one, I love this, is like Andy Reid. He's had so much success and winning a Super Bowl and being this architect for the Chiefs, like unstoppable offense. Oh, yeah, they're going to miss Tyreek Hill, right? Not one bit. Still number one in passing offense, still number one offense overall. I think Andy Reid going to coach against his old team is kind of interesting. It's been so long since he's been the Eagles head coach, so I don't know if there's like animosity towards him.
Yeah.
Like, or if like he has, I think it's just been so long that it's like, it's like a cool little afterthought.
And I feel like after he left, it's like a huge rebuild. So he probably just, it's like completely different.
Yeah. And the Eagles have won a Super Bowl since he's left.
Yeah.
He's won a Super Bowl since he's left. So it's kind of like, yeah, I coached there for like a decade.
Yeah.
All right. And here I am now. It's very interesting. To me, the most interesting historical context, and I was talking with a student of mine, Nick, about this, who's a diehard Eagles fan. Shout out to you, Nick. Was that I started thinking, okay, the Eagles won it back in, what, 2018. They had Doug Peterson as their head coach. They had Carson Wentz as their quarterback. Carson Wentz at the time was rolling before he blew out his knee. He was going to be the MVP. That team was stacked. The belief was the Eagles have their franchise quarterback. This guy was supposed to be and was that year so good. And the wheels fell off. We know how that obviously turned out. But what I think is so interesting is, you know, when you fire your head coach and then you try to salvage it with Wentz and then Wentz doesn't work out and then you cut Wentz and, or trade him, I think, to the Colts, you've now gotten rid of your head coach and your quarterback, the two most important parts, two out of three, the owner is the third, but two, my opinion, two of the most important parts of any team. And you have rebuilt your team because that 18 roster was stacked from top to bottom. And then now you've basically sucked for 2 years, rebuilt, and you're back in the Super Bowl within 5 years. And it got me thinking, like, this is the one of the fastest rebuilds I can think of. What other teams have done this? We've seen teams win it with two different quarterbacks within a five-year span. We've seen teams win it with two different head coaches in a five-year span. But it got me thinking, like, historically, out of all the teams that have ever won, has there ever been any other teams that have won within a five-year span where it's still kind of the same, you know, process, but with a different head coach and a different quarterback? And the answer is there are two. Super Bowl 11, it was John Madden and Ken Stabler, and Super Bowl 15, Flores and Jim Plunkett. The Raiders are the first team to do it. They did it in 4 years, which is great. I mean, the Raiders, they were a dynasty during those years, but to be able to turn over head coach, you know, because when you fire your head coach, it doesn't mean just because you're getting someone new that they're going to be good, because some guys can't hack it. See what I did there? See what I did there? So that's really amazing. And the same thing, just because you get a new quarterback does not mean, I know new is always exciting, but just because you have a new quarterback doesn't guarantee that they're going to be good. That's right. Or if you draft one and then you draft another one, Sam Darnold, Zach Wilson, right? Like, doesn't always mean it. And then Super Bowl 24 and Super Bowl 29, again, like a 4 year span or 5 year span. Jim, you have Walsh, your head coach, Joe Montana, your quarterback. And then in 29, in 1995, I believe it is, Seifert, your head coach, and Steve Young being your quarterback. I think what's interesting about that one in particular is they had Young in the wings ready to go, and it was just basically like plug him in and then they're off running. But again, you don't have a guarantee that your head coach is going to be good. You don't have a guarantee that that young quarterback is going to be great. So it's really interesting because if the Eagles are able to do it, they're really going to be the third one to, you know, to do this. And I think that there's so many interesting matchups, too, in this game. The Eagles just have no weakness.
Yeah, their entire roster is just stacked. It's like every single player is great.
Yeah. And they, I mean, is their biggest weakness Jalen Hurts?
Honestly, it might be because...
It's just like hot take, and it's so obnoxious, but like, do you think that's true?
Yeah, because ever since his shoulder injury, he's been relying on his legs more.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, his like passing yards over the past two games, it's in the hundreds.
Yeah, it was like he put up like less than 150 against the Giants. Yeah. They kind of didn't need to really throw it too much against the Giants. Sorry, Giants. But yeah, like so I think this is going to be potentially his, you know, first true test, really, and it's the biggest stage. So you're wondering, like, not that talent-wise, I mean, he would have been MVP if he didn't get hurt.
Yeah.
Ironically, it's going to go to Mahomes, probably. But again, which is just kind of like a really awesome matchup to see these two. But I feel like he might be your biggest question mark.
Because I know the Eagles' schedule has been easier compared to the Chiefs because they've kind of done really bad over the past 2 years.
Yeah.
And I think their only true test was maybe the Cowboys, but he was, like, out that game.
Right, right.
So, I don't know. And in the playoffs, it's the Giants, which wasn't really that much of a challenge.
It wasn't. But here's the thing with that. And while I understand that thought process, I always feel like, you know, you beat the teams that are in front of you, and it's not their fault that they played whoever they played.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, it's almost like you're damned if you do and, like, you're damned if you don't. Like, if you don't beat them, it's, oh, you should have beaten them. And then, you know, they crush these teams. And I think, like, that's the making of when you know the team is good. Like, they crushed the Giants in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Giants were a good team. I really thought the Giants, I didn't think the Giants were going to win. I thought they would keep it close. And they just steamrolled them. This team feels buzzsaw-like, where there is, like, no stopping all of the weapons they have on both sides of the ball. Where do you think the biggest weakness lies for the Chiefs, or biggest question mark?
So I think because of the amount of injuries they've had over this entire, like,
they got killed just the last game.
Last game, they had like an entire season's worth of injuries.
Yeah, they had, I think, three wide receivers went down.
Yeah. And Patrick Mahomes, last game, he couldn't run anymore.
Yeah. And that's a huge part of his, he's a magician out there.
Yeah.
Are we both saying possibly that the biggest question mark are their two MVP quarterbacks because of the injuries?
Yeah. Because especially with the Eagles' pass rush, Mahomes has to move around a little bit.
That pass rush is insane.
Yeah.
Third most team sacks in NFL history with 70. That's nuts.
And the second team behind them, which is the Chiefs, are at 55, which is
insane drop off. Like, yeah. 15 for some people may not seem like that big of a deal, but we're talking about like that. That's a whole nother Pro Bowl player being added to the Chiefs to have a chance to catch up to 70. Yeah, that's wild. So where do you think? Okay, so this is kind of fun. Let's take then Jalen Hurts, and let's take Mahomes out of this, because they are both question marks potentially with the injuries that have been pretty significant for them.
Yeah.
What do the Chiefs have to do to win? What do the Eagles have to do to win? And let's not make it about Mahomes or Jalen Hurts.
So the Eagles, they have to contain Travis Kelce, because right now he's their biggest threat.
Yeah.
In the Chiefs offense.
Who guards him? Because he is the catalyst, I guess, for their offense, because, and he's kind of always been.
Yeah.
Because you can't guard him. He's the cliche. Like, you can't put a corner on him because corner's too small. You can't put a linebacker on him because the linebacker's not fast enough. And, like, the safeties are just not going to be athletic enough to be able to catch. Like, try to take him away and then allow the Chiefs wide receivers or running back to be them, the guys that beat you? Because, like, Mahomes is, you're not the number one passing offense in the league with only one weapon.
Yeah.
So, what do you do? You take away Kelce?
I personally think that they should double team Kelce.
Okay.
And then focus, like, secondary on the wide receivers and the running back. But I think Kelce, if he even gets open, it's like a touchdown.
He's always open, and it's always, like, just these, like, little sit-down routes. It feels like he just goes up the field 7 yards, turn backs around, and then you can't tackle him because he's got full, like, it almost feels like sometimes Gronk is a different player and they used him differently. Gronk was, like, all about that seam straight up the middle that you just couldn't stop. But it's the same way, like, these huge big body tight ends, they're so difficult to stop.
And you can't even bring them down because,
like,
Gronk used to run with, like, three players.
Oh, my. Gronk, I think Gronk might be the best tight end. Now that he's retired and, like, I could kind of process what I saw all those years, I think he might be the greatest tight end that I've ever seen.
Yeah, the Eagles also need to make sure that the Chiefs don't get these, like, chunk plays, especially when Mahomes is about to be brought down and he, like, flicks the ball to someone.
Yeah.
They need to make sure that they can stop them at the line of scrimmage instead of letting them, like, just run through a huge hole.
Yeah. Because they have the power to, like, just explode. Yeah. Like, they are – I want to see them fail. Like, I wanted to see them come back to earth a little bit with Hill gone. And it's like they didn't.
Yeah.
Like, at all. Yeah. Where do you feel like the Chiefs have to do to win?
I think they have to – obviously, they need to get corners on Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown because they're both, like, equal. They're, like, both really great.
Yeah, they both have over 1,000 – over 1,100 yards. They both got close to, if not double-digit touchdowns. Like, what do you –
obviously, you can't, like, double-team both of them.
There's just no way. Yeah. And that's what makes it so dangerous, having two stud wide receivers. So how do you stop them, especially with the Chiefs' corners who are banged up, or three of them are rookies?
Yeah. I think you just blitz Mahomes really fast before.
Okay.
No, I mean, blitz Hurts really fast before he can even look downfield.
Okay. And you're leaving one-on-one matchups then everywhere.
Yeah.
You're hoping that, like, you could get to him.
Because Chris Jones.
Yeah.
Or you could just leave Chris Jones there to, like, put pressure in the pocket.
Because
he's a one-man force.
He's unbelievable. He had 15 and a half sacks, I think, this year. And, like, his performance in the AFC Championship game, he was Aaron Donald-esque. Like, we saw Aaron Donald, like, dominate in the playoff. Yeah. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer. Like, Aaron Donald's amazing. We don't need to tell you how good he is. But, like, Aaron Donald was able to generate pressure and be that one-man wrecking crew. And then same thing, like, with a wide receiver. You want to – you see Chris Jones, like, you're going to chip him. You want to get maybe your guard and your center. Like, you want to double-team him constantly. It's going to open it up for other guys to make a play. But the Eagles have an amazing offensive line.
And I'm pretty sure Chris Jones was, like, even though he was double-teamed, he still had, like, an amazing sack rate.
Yeah, it's Aaron Donald-esque, right? Yeah. Like, you cannot stop him. Doesn't matter what you do. So, I mean...
And I would say put more of a focus on A.J. Brown rather than Devontae Smith.
Yeah, how come?
Browns has had more, like, better numbers. Devontae Smith, he's catching up, but he's still a rookie, so he might make some mistakes. So I'd say Brown is your greatest threat.
Okay. It's interesting because I kind of think the key to the Eagles' victory is going to be Miles Sanders because they are a running team. And I think if you're running, you could – this is not a knock on Jalen Hurts, but I think when you're running, you can obviously control the line of scrimmage better. You don't have to ask Hurts to drop back and pass 40 times. Mahomes will pass the ball 50 times. Like, I would be shocked if Andy Reid is running the ball 20 times in the game or 20 called times in the game. Because they just love having him drop back in short passes, explosive plays. Like, they use the West Coast offense as a running offense. So there's some interesting stuff that you brought up about both some key matchups with their defense, Chiefs defense, and them going head-to-head in the red zone with the Eagles offense. How do you see that playing out?
So the Chiefs defense hasn't been that great in the red zone. They're actually 31st in the league during the regular season.
Out of 32, that's pretty bad.
Yeah. And Philly's offense, they're third in the league on red zone trips.
I mean, with scoring or taking away points? Found the end zone.
Yeah.
So we're talking about touchdowns.
Scoring, yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't think this is going to be a game where field goals are going to cut it.
No, it's going to be a shootout.
Yeah.
And it could possibly be the second overtime game
Interesting.
In Super Bowl history. Because they're just such great offenses. And even though they have great defenses, I just feel like it's going to be a shootout match.
Yeah, and I think what's so interesting about this too, like when you're looking at the percentages that you were researching, Chiefs defense, 67.3% of opponents' trips in the 20-yard line, they're giving up touchdowns.
Yeah.
That's a lot. And Philly, 67.8, their offense is scoring. So it's ultimate strength against like maybe the Chiefs' biggest Achilles heel.
Yeah.
That and maybe turnovers, because I felt like this year it was wild seeing Mahomes turn the ball over as much as he did. Granted, he's still having an MVP year.
Yeah.
But for a guy who's usually throwing no picks in September, throws 6 or 7 picks for the whole year, like video game numbers. Like Mahomes is like playing Madden on like rookie. It's insane. And this year, I mean, even against the Broncos, like the Broncos picked him off like 5 times in 2 games, which I remember being like, what's up with this guy? They're not going far. I remember saying the Chiefs are not going to make it very far in the playoffs. And obviously I'm wrong, but the turnovers, I think, were a concern. The injuries, I think, are going to play a big factor too. And I know we were kind of talking about that before. Legarius Sneed, we don't know if he's going to be playing with a concussion. He might. 2 weeks, right, is enough time where possibly he might be okay, depending on how it is. But if it's not, you have 3 rookie cornerbacks going out there, and they're expected to guard Devontae Smith. Like, it's a lot. It's a tall order. And I think also the Chiefs, like, depending on what happens with their weapons, with Mecole Hardman, Smith-Schuster, like, all these guys are key components to their success. Because you're looking at Chiefs, number one points per game, number one in yards per game, number one in passing yards per game, rushing their ranked 21st. They just don't need to run the ball, like, all that much. But the Eagles, their offense, they're tied for first to the percentage point. 28.7 points per game. They're tied for first. Like, so for people who love offense, this is not going to be Patriots Rams.
Yeah.
Where it's like 19-6. What was the final score of that? Do you remember?
I think it was like 13-3.
13 to, yes, you're right. It was 13-3. Yeah. I think it's going to be 13-3, like with 6 minutes to go in the first quarter.
Yeah. It's going to be a lot of touchdowns. And if one team like loses, like, even a possession,
yeah,
it's going to be like they can't catch up. They need a big play.
To a degree, I agree with that. But I would argue, I don't think either one of these teams, even if they get down by 2 scores, is out of it.
Yeah.
Because they can come back in a flash so fast. And the Eagles defense, again, you got total yards per game. They're ranked number one. So you have the number one offense, the Chiefs, going against the number one defense in total yards per game. And they're the best passing defense. So, again, you've got strength versus strength. Yeah. Chiefs are a powerhouse. Eagles are a powerhouse. And I think that's so interesting. But to me, one of the big ones, not that it's going to play a big factor, Eagles are 4th points per game allowed, 18.8. Yeah, and I mean, but I think the Eagles are a little bit more well-rounded because they are ranked 4th in rushing yards per game, 153.9. So, like, they can beat you in a lot of different ways.
I know I was watching the Bengals game last weekend, and apparently Sky Moore, the Chiefs punt returner, he's muffed a few punts. So
I mean, that's a way to steal a possession, right?
Yeah.
You punt it, and then boom. Oh, man. You know, the biggest Bengals fans, I don't know how many Bengals fans are listening to this podcast, because I don't know how many Bengals fans are in our school, but I feel like maybe the biggest threat to the Eagles might be the refs.
Yeah.
Because the championship game was an atrocity. NFL is rigged, is trending on Twitter for like a full day. That's some bad news, because these refs are, look, I don't think that the NFL is rigged, but because the refs are so bad at their job. I think that in order to rig it, you'd have to be really good at your job, so you know how to hide it. Like, you know what I mean? And these refs are horrible.
But even in the NFC Championship game, it was like the refs were leaning towards the Eagles.
Some of the calls are just so bad and so questionable. And it's a thankless job. Like, I don't think that any referee is known for being a good ref. Like, it's usually one of those things. It's like, for the most part, the way the general audience views offensive line. Like, when they're doing a great job, you don't say anything. And when they are letting guys go right past them, we're like, you suck. Look at you. I just hope, especially with everything that happened last weekend, I just hope that it's just not a flag happy game.
Yeah.
And the crew that they have is one of the percentage wise, like, amount of flags that they will throw is it's pretty high.
Oh.
Yeah. So I there's always the perception of like, oh, you know, nobody's watching the game to see the refs. But I hope that they kind of ticky-tack calls. I hope they don't throw flags on stuff where it's really controversial. But you just don't want people talking about the Super Bowl saying that team won because the refs didn't call this, or that team lost because of this call.
That's always the worst.
It's the worst. Like the Saints and the Rams from a few years ago.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's a bad look. It's a bad look. Plus, it takes away from the game. Like, that's all people that end up talking about then.
Yeah, and it's like, you just want to see them play, not like these.
Let them play.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't, and then it, from a viewing experience, you're like, oh my God, what a play. You're reacting, and then yellow graphic. You're like, oh, it's a flag. It doesn't count. So it's really frustrating. Although, a little part of me, it's like a sick, sick human being, is like, no, let the game be heavily controversial, because that'll be what makes changes.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and I don't care about the Eagles or the Chiefs either way. Like, I don't want the Chiefs to win. Obviously, I don't want the Chiefs to win. I hate them.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, let it be a terrible game where, like, there's terrible flags and calls, and maybe they'll start making some changes and make these refs full time and actually start getting people who are good at their profession. Look at me judging. How difficult that must be to be a ref and to know that the only reason people know who you are is because you suck at your job. It's, or because, like, they think you suck at your job.
It's like, if you're good, you will not be known.
Right.
But if you're bad, you'll be trending everywhere.
All the time, right? Yeah. I also like, it is funny when you see the refs, like, they're messing up the call. They're trying to figure it out. And then as they're announcing it to the stadium, they're like, there's a flag on the play. They, like, look around confused. And they're like, number 22. And you see, like, they cut to 22. 22 is like, was it me? I mean, 24. And then, like, 24. It's a 15-yard. And then they, like, shut off the thing. They, like, go to talk. And they're like, correction, there is no flag. And you're like, wait, what? All that for nothing? Are you kidding me?
And then when the broadcasters correct them.
Oh, I love that. Where they're like, and they have to do it very gently because it's usually a former ref that is in the booth, like Gene Skeletor. And they're like, Gene, what are you seeing here? And they're like, they're trying to say it as diplomatically as possible, because, like, you have respect for your fellow former colleagues. You're like, ah, well, Tony, I don't know if I see pass interference there. They're like, that's a terrible call. Oh, man. It should be fun either way. So I'm ready to make predictions, if you are.
Yeah.
Where this will be forever. So forever, people will go back and listen to this episode, and they will say, was Simran right? Anytime you give your football picks from now on, they will go back to this episode. I still get downloads on the Super Bowl, 55, I guess, or 54, from the Bucks and the Chiefs. And I'm like, why are people listening to a Super Bowl preview from something that happened already 4 years ago or 3 years ago? So people might be doing that to keep tabs on them.
Wow.
Yeah. So
it's a lot of pressure.
I know, right? So let's do it. Who's winning the game? What's the score? Who's your MVP?
I want the Chiefs to win.
Ugh.
Because I hate the Eagles. Mm-hmm. And at first I thought the Chiefs were going to win because, obviously, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, you can never count them out.
No way.
But then I saw how many injuries their team had, and just the state of their defense.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, okay, let me go look at the Eagles roster. And it's, like, fully packed.
And they're healthy.
Yeah.
Right? They're as healthy as they're going to be.
So I thought it would be wrong not to pick the Eagles on this one. But I have it pretty close. And they're going to win, what I think, 38-35. Okay. Probably on a last-second field goal.
Ooh, excitement. 38-35. All right. Well, my prediction, who's going to be your MVP?
I honestly think it's going to be Jalen Hurts because I think he's going to make a bunch of rushing plays that'll really add to the game.
Yeah.
And I think he's finally going to, after these past two games, he's going to make some passing plays.
Okay.
And he's just going to be all-rounded well.
You think two touchdowns in the air, one touchdown rushing?
Yeah.
Or what are you thinking?
I'm thinking like two.
How many yards on the ground? How many yards in the air? How many touchdowns for both?
I think, yeah, so two touchdowns in the air, maybe okay. 300 yards.
Okay.
And then on the ground, maybe like 60.
Yeah, that sounds about right, yeah. Right? 360, that's going to be a fun stat to look at to see how many Super Bowl MVPs or how many winning quarterbacks have had 300 in the air and over 50 on the ground with a touchdown each.
Yeah, because I think he's capable of that, and he's proven that throughout the season.
Yeah. So I'm thinking I obviously don't want the Chiefs to win. And I'm picking against them. Eagles 35-17. So a little bit more of a blowout. I think it's a runaway at the end. So I think it's going to be an entertaining game for the first three quarters. I think a backbreaking turnover, whether it's a muffed punt or whether it's a fumble or a pick or something that at the end of the third quarter changes the trajectory of the game. And I think it's going to be back and forth. So maybe when this happens, it's 21-17. And then I think the Eagles run away with it. Where the final score is not going to show how close it really was, but I think I'm going to go 35-17. I know that's like wild because the Eagles are only a two-point favorite, but make a wild prediction here. And MVP, I think, is going to be Miles Sanders. I think they're going to have a big game on the ground. I think if they pull away with a lead, they are going to probably lean on the run a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I think then that's when Miles Sanders just has a game. I'm going to call, let's go bold. Three touchdowns on the ground, 168 rushing. Got to pick a nice, like, very specific number. 168 rushing. And we'll say 40 receiving.
Yeah, that sounds...
Which is like, that's a monster game.
Yeah.
Which would make him the first running back to win MVP.
No running back has ever
since.
Won.
No, they have. Since. Do you know who? Last running back to win Super Bowl MVP.
No.
Long before you were born. Terrell Davis on the Broncos, Super Bowl 32.
Wow.
1997.
That's a long time.
Was the last MVP of the Super Bowl, which is crazy to think the mid-2000s had some unbelievable running backs. This was a ton of fun. Simran, amazing. So well researched. You're so knowledgeable about football. This was a blast getting to talk to you. We got to do this again. Maybe in the summer we do a virtual one and we preview the upcoming football season.
Yeah.
And you could tell us how the Patriots are going to win the division.
They're going to win the entire Super Bowl next year.
She's on record. Go ahead.
They got Bill O'Brien this year.
Oh.
So they're good. They have an actual offensive coordinator.
I hope you enjoy the Super Bowl. I hope all of our listeners out there enjoy the Super Bowl. And until then, let us know on social media. Let Simran know if her predictions were correct. If they weren't, lay off of her. Until then, stay safe, stay hungry. See you.